理课堂听 class.com。
Model Test 7 Part 3 Listening Comprehension Section A Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spokenOnly once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices with A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line, though the center. Question 11. Excuse me, Professor Jones.I was absent from the first class, and I heard that's when you handed out the course outline. Would you have an extra copy?
I don't have anyone with me. There are a few left in my office. Why don't you stop by after class?
What does Professor Jones mean? Question 12. Do you ever know what Tony is talking about?
Never. He always beats around the bush.
What does the woman mean?
Question 13.Have you heard about the plane crash yesterday? It caused 120 deaths. I'm never at ease when taking a flight.
Though we often hear about air crashes and serious casual deeds, flying is one of the safest ways to travel.
What do we learn from this conversation?Question 14. How did you do on the maths exam, John?
I barely made it. It was just a passing score, but better than I had expected.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 15. I'm really torn. I need a new bicycle, and I just can't decide which one to get. There are just too many different kinds to choose from.
As far as I am concerned, a bike is a bike. It's just transportation.
What does the woman mean?
Question 16. Gregory will be leaving this Sunday, and it's also his birthday. I'm thinking of throwing him a farewell and birthday party.
That's a good idea. We can arrange that. But in the meantime, let's just keep it between the two of us.
What does the man suggest they should do?Question 17. I got out of science class late again. I never make it to work on time. I hope I won't get in trouble.
The boss is in a good mood. Maybe she'll give you a break this time.
What does the man say about the boss? Question 18. You wanted to see me, Mr. Wright?
Yes, Miss Gray. You'll have to start getting to work on time, or your service will no longer be needed here.
What happened to Miss Gray? Now you will hear two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
We now interrupt our regular scheduled news program to bring you live up-to-date coverage on the civil unrest in the newly formed country of Karnak, where our man Stan Fielding is stationed. Stan.
This is Stan Fielding reporting live from the suburbs of the capital city. Just 20 minutes ago, rebel forces launched the biggest offensive against the ruling government in the 18-month conflict here in this country.
Now, Stan, is this a sign that the peace process has been totally abandoned?
Well, so far, peace negotiations have failed, and any resolution to end the civil war appears bleak at this moment. As you can see, whoa!
Stan, are you there?
Yes, Shelley. As you can probably hear behind me, the rebel forces are also using heavy artillery to pound the positions of government forces around the city center. Rebel forces are closing in, and it's feared that they'll be able to take the Capitol building before daybreak, where, it is believed, many government officials are holding out.
Now, besides the heavy fighting, what other pressing concerns are there for the citizens of the city?
Well, since the beginning of the conflict, starvation and lack of clean water and adequate shelter have been the biggest daily obstacles facing the citizens of this war-torn country. It is believed that over 40,000 people, mostly children, have starved to death. Fortunately, no epidemics have broken out, but that is always a concern if this war lingers on.
Okay, that was Stan Fielding reporting, and we will keep you up to date as this story continues to unfold.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What is the news coverage mainly about? Question 20. What does the reporter Stan Fielding say about the situation in Karnak? Question 21. At what time of day do you think this news report is being made? Question 22. What is the pressing concern of the citizens of Karnak? Conversation 2.
Hi, Kaven. Your roommate told me that I could find you in the TV lounge. What are you doing here?
What does it look like I'm doing?
Well, it looks like you are watching television, but we have a linear algebra midterm tomorrow, so I thought you'd be studying for it, and maybe I can study with you.
Oh, well, I was just taking a break. This linear algebra stuff gives me a headache if I work on it too long.
I know what you mean. I've been working on it for 3 hours already. I'm beginning to get cross. I've been guessing at the sample problems. I just don't get some of them.
But I can't believe you are coming to me. I mean, you do know what I got on the last test, don't you?
Yeah, I know. You told me. I just thought two heads might be better than one.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. But, you know, I wish I knew that person in our class who got 100 on the last test. She didn't miss a question. Was it Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth. She is a friend of mine. She'd be a big help right now. Why don't I give her a call?
What, at this hour? It's already 10:30. I don't want to impose on her.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But you know what? She owes me a big favor. Let's at least give her a call and see what she says. Maybe going over some of the problems with us would help her review the material.
It's worth a try.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 23. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Question 24. Why is the man surprised that the woman wants to study linear algebra with him? Question 25. Why doesn't the man want to call Elizabeth?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Passage 1. One important thing about art movements is that their popularity can be affected by social conditions, which are themselves often affected by historical events. As an example, look at what happened in the United States in the early 20th century, around the time of the Great Depression. The art movement known as the regionalism had begun in the United States even before the Depression occurred. But it really flourished in the 1930s during the Depression years. Why? Well, many artists who had been living in big cities were forced by the economic crisis to leave those big cities and move back to their small towns in rural America. Some of these artists came to truly embrace the life in small towns and to reject city life in so-called sophisticated society. These artists, or specifically certain painters, really built the regionalist movement. They created things in everyday life in small towns or farming areas. And their style was not all neutral, really big glorified or romanticized country life, showing it stable, wholesome, and embodying important American traditions. And this style became very popular, in part because of the economic conditions of the time. You see, the Depression had caused many Americans to begin to doubt their society. But regionalism artists painted scenes that glorified American values, scenes that many Americans could easily identify with. So the movement helped strengthen people's faith in their country, faith that had weakened as the result of the Depression. But in the 1940s, before and after the Second World War, American culture began to take on a much more international spirit, and regionalism, with its focus on small-town life, well, it lost a lot of popularity, as American society changed once again.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What is the lecture mainly about? Question 27. What kind of scene might be shown in a typical regionalist painting? Question 28. According to the speaker, what happened in the USA in the 1940s around the time of World War II that affected the popularity of the regionalist art? Passage 2. A deadly infectious outbreak swept through a small city in Zaire, Africa, last spring, killing more than 100 people. The killer was a rare virus that caused most victims to bleed to death. As scientists rushed to control the outbreak, people in the US wondered, could it attack here? We are foolish if we think it couldn't come to our country, say doctors. The virus can be highly infectious. If you come into contact with a victim's blood or other bodily fluids, you can get sick too. It only takes one infected person to start such a disease. That's what scientists believe happened in Zaire. The healthcare workers who treated the first victims there soon fell ill too. The problem was that they had no protective equipment to prevent themselves from being infected. International rescue workers brought equipment to prevent themselves from being infected soon after the outbreak occurred. Now the disease appears to be under control. One big mystery is that no one knows where the virus comes from or where it will strike next. Some scientists say that the virus lies inactive in the cells of some kind of plant, insect, or other animal. Then it somehow finds a way to infect humans. Scientists are now headed into the jungles of Africa to find out where the virus lives. Once they find the virus, they also hope to find ways to combat it.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. How does the disease mentioned in the passage spread? Question 30. What happened to most of the victims with this disease? Question 31. Why are the scientists going to the African jungles? Passage 3. In public speaking, the watchword is preparation. Most of us tend to put things off, at least occasionally. It's so easy to put things off, especially those things we do not look forward to doing. So if the speaking engagement is several weeks off, we may feel that we still have plenty of time. But as the day draws closer, we begin to panic. Don't let this happen to you. Start preparing as soon as you're given or accept the speaking assignment. You have much to do, and to do it right will take time. How much better your speech will be, and how much better you'll feel, if you have taken the time to do it right. When you are prepared, you have gathered the needed data, determined what is appropriate to the listener's understanding and acceptance level, organized the ideas so they flow logically, selected examples and other supports for your ideas, and made them interesting to your listeners. Developed a great opening that you know will capture the attention of even the daydreamers in your audiences. Checked out the room where you'll be speaking and requested any feasible changes you wish in the setup of the room. If you are prepared, you are confident that you can best convey your message to your listeners. If you waited until a few days before your presentation to begin to prepare, or worse yet, the day before, no doubt you'll be anxious, and with good reason. And now there is not enough time to engage in more than a superficial attempt. Both you and the audience will feel uncomfortable, like retirement planning. It is never too early to start preparing for your presentation. so start preparing right away.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. What is the most important thing in public speaking? Question 33. What does the speaker advise us to do to capture the audience's attention? Question 34. How will you feel if you don't start working for the presentation until the day before? Question 35. Who is this speech most probably meant for?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written.
The universities are schools of education and schools of research. But the primary reason for their existence is not to be found either in the mere knowledge conveyed to the students or in the mere opportunities for research afforded to the members of the faculty. The justification for the existence of a university is that it preserves the connection between knowledge and the enthusiasm for life by uniting the young and the old in the imaginative consideration of learning. The university imparts information, but it imparts it imaginatively. At least this is the function which it should perform for a society. A university which fails in this respect has no reason for existence. This atmosphere of excitement arising from imaginative consideration transforms knowledge. A fact is no longer a bare fact. It is invested with all its possibilities. It is no longer a burden on the memory. It is energizing as a poet of our dreams, as the architect of our purposes. Imagination is not to be divorced from the facts. It is a way of illuminating the facts. It works by eliciting the general principles which apply to the facts, and then, by an intellectual survey of alternative possibilities which are consistent with those principles, it enables men to construct a better view of a new world. And it preserves the enthusiasm for life by the suggestion of satisfying purposes. Youth is imaginative, and if the imagination is strengthened by discipline, this energy of imagination can in great measure be preserved throughout life. The tragedy of the world is that those who are unimaginative but have slight experience, and those who are experienced have feeble imaginations.
The universities are schools of education and schools of research. But the primary reason for their existence is not to be found either in the mere knowledge conveyed to the students or in the mere opportunities for research afforded to the members of the faculty. The justification for the existence of a university is that it preserves the connection between knowledge and the enthusiasm for life by uniting the young and the old in the imaginative consideration of learning. The university imparts information, but it imparts it imaginatively. At least this is the function which it should perform for society. A university which fails in this respect has no reason for existence. This atmosphere of excitement arising from imaginative consideration transforms knowledge. A fact is no longer a bare fact. It is invested with all its possibilities. It is no longer a burden on the memory. It is energizing as the poet of our dreams and as the architect of our purposes. Imagination is not to be divorced from the facts. It is a way of illuminating the facts. It works by eliciting the general principles which it applies to the facts, and then by intellectual survey of alternative possibilities which are consistent with those principles. It enables men to construct a better view of a new world, and it preserves the enthusiasm for life by the suggestion of satisfying purposes. Youth is imaginative, and if the imagination is strengthened by discipline, this energy of imagination can in great measure be preserved through life. The tragedy of the world is that those who are imaginative have but slight experience, and those who are experienced have feeble imaginations.
The universities are schools of education and schools of research. But the primary reason for their existence is not to be found either in the mere knowledge conveyed to the students or in the mere opportunities for research afforded to the members of the faculty. The justification for the existence of a university is that it preserves the connection between knowledge and the enthusiasm for life by uniting the young and the old in the imaginative consideration of learning. The university imparts information, but it imparts it imaginatively. At least this is the function which it should perform for a society. A university which fails in this respect has no reason for existence. This atmosphere of excitement, arising from imaginative consideration, transforms knowledge. A fact is no longer a bare fact. It is invested with all its possibilities. It is no longer a burden on the memory. It is energizing as a poet of our dreams, as the architect of our purposes. Imagination is not to be divorced from the facts. It is a way of illuminating the facts. It works by eliciting the general principles which apply to the facts, and then, by an intellectual survey of alternative possibilities which are consistent with those principles, it enables men to construct a better view of a new world, and it preserves the enthusiasm for life by the suggestion of satisfying purposes. Youth is imaginative, and if the imagination is strengthened by discipline, this energy of imagination can in great measure be preserved throughout life. The tragedy of the world is that those who are unimaginative but have slight experience, and those who are experienced have feeble imaginations. Thank you.